is Parshas Kisavoy, which is in page 1068. We first have to understand, last week's Parsha we finished with the story of Amalek, right? Zachor Sosach Amalek, what Amalek did to us. And this week's Parsha starts the Parsha's Bikurim, basically. Berkis Sover Loris, you come to the land, you should give Bikurim. That's, Bikurim is the first fruit that you go out to the field, and the first fruit that comes out, before you know it comes out, you give it to Hashem. So the question they ask is, what's the connection between Amalek and Bikurim? So the simple answer they bring down is, boy, you have to erase Amalek. When do you have to do it? Not now, when you come into the land. After you come into the land, then you have the commandment to erase Amalek. When you enter the land, that's when you have the commandment to erase Amalek. The second interpretation they give is that you take a look at the second pasuk, says, Velkachto mereishis kol pri adama. You should take from reishis, from the first fruit. Reishis is the first of every fruit. So, Amalek is called also reishis. It's called because Bilam, when he cursed the Jew, when he was saying, he says, reishis goim Amalek. The Amalek is the first nation. So, in order to counteract the act of Amalek, we have to give Bikurim, which is Reishis. So in other words, how are you going to erase Amalek? By you giving Bikurim, and that will erase the deeds of Amalek. So that's why you are be able to conquer the land. Also, they say Bereishis Bar Elokim. The Medrash brings up which should be Bikurim, Shenikra Reishis. Because basically the idea of Bikurim is that as soon as you come out in the field, before you even know, that's a difference between Bikurim and Maiser. Maiser you give out of the products, out of the products that you got, you already know how much profit you're making, then you give 10%. You collected, gathered all your grains, you know exactly how much you got, now you could be thankful to God. But Bikurim is something that is before you even know, like you see the first fruit, the little bud is coming in, then you tie out a little piece of a blade of grass on it, and you call it to identify this is the first fruit, and this is Bikurim. No matter when it comes out or how it comes out, that is the Bikurim. So before you know how much yield you're going to get from your crop, you already decide to give the Bikurim the first fruit. You already recognize that the land is not yours, that the land is God's. Where Amalek tries to tell you that everything is happenstance. So to counteract Amalek by us giving Bikurim, that counteracts the force of Amalek. Amalek is not just a nation, Amalek is a force that tries to say there's no God in the world, that once God created the world, everything else is just coincidences, happenstance, that he cools you down on our interpretation, he cools you down from your fervor to God, telling you why you so much for God, Hashem, it's not so great. So therefore we do Bikurim by recognizing that even before we get our fruit, that we're recognizing this is the fruit of Hashem. So that's the idea of Bikurim.
How is Bikurim
translated? Bikurim is from the word Bechor. Bechor, Bechor.
What's the difference between visiting
the sick? Bikur
Cholim. Ah, thank you.
That's for different kaf.
Yes.
That's for kaf esachat. Bikurim comes from the word Bechor, which is the firstborn. Basically, you take from the first of your land, which is the firstborn of your land, so you take it to give down. You're supposed to take from the first fruit of your land, but not the whole land. The Kurim were only given by the seven species. It's Shiva Saminim that the land of Israel was blessed. That's what Bikurim was given from. So the question they ask is most of the seven species, even though they're a couple, they are not, but most of the seven species is boire priyaitz, is fruit of the tree. We have grape, we have pomegranate, and we have olives, and most of them is fruit of the tree. So why is it called pri hadama? So the simple answer is that since there is two species, wheat and barley, which is pri hadama, so, and if you make a pri hadama and pri haitz, you yoitze, right? If you make a bracha, boire pri hadama, on something that are fruit of the tree, you fulfill the obligation. Just not as specific, because fruit of the tree is more specific than fruit of the earth. Because every fruit of the tree is a fruit of the earth.
Right.
Right? So therefore it says Poripradama because it includes all seven. The other interpretation they give that since we have to give the Bikurim when it's abad, when it's boiser, when it's still abad, and on bad we make Poripradama, so on unripe fruit we don't make Poripradama because it's not finished yet, we make Poripradama. So therefore it's called, you should give when it's still Priyadama. You should give when it's the fruit of the land, not when it's fruit of the tree. The Or HaChaim says, I'm very nice, very beautiful Or HaChaim. If you take a look, the last part is Kiseite. It doesn't say V'hoyo Kiseite, or be when you go out. It says Kiseite. Why doesn't it say Kisavoy? Why it says V'hoyo Kisavoy? So they explain that the Talmud says every time he says V'hoyo, is a Lashon Simcha. He's going to be happy. It's a happiness. So they say it's going to be happiness Kisavoy Loritz. The Or HaChaim says that true happiness you could only encounter when you are in the land of Israel. Even nowadays, when you come back, Hashem gives you the land to inherit. That's what Rechaim explains. That even nowadays, the only true happiness is only going to be when you come to the land of Israel. And if you take a look at the word V'hoyo, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The word V'hoyo has God's name in it. It's a simcha because Yud Kei Vav Kei isn't there. Therefore, they say, that's what's going to be a true simcha when God gives you the land and to inherit. The Medrash brings down that you should do mitzvah, you should do this mitzvah. If this mitzvah, you'll merit to come to the land. Asay mitzvah zi, do this mitzvah, should be schuso, that this merit of this mitzvah, you'll get into the land. So the question they ask is, there's a little technical problem, because this mitzvah is only obligated to do it after you are in the land. Right? In other words, after 14 days, Rashi actually says that you're only liable, since God says that the land that you give you as an inheritance, you inherit it, so you're only liable to give Bikurim after the 14 years of conquest and division. So how can you say, make this mitzvah, and this mitzvah you'll marry to go to the land? So the Gemara brings down in Masechtas Tainas that if it's a day that you can't, let's say the Gentiles decree that you're not allowed to fast, and you have a tzara, there's something bad happening. So the mere fact that we accept a fast when you come into the land, automatically Hashem will help you for doing it. Because Hashem, what's counted is machshava toiva, a good intention, God makes it like an action. So he says that if you can't do it. But if you now commit yourself that you're eventually going to do it, that merit of that commitment will cause you to come into the land. Pasuk number 3 says you should take the fruit and take it and you should put it in a basket. Batana is basket. By the way, the numerical value of the word tana, tet nun aleph, is 60. So for me, you learn that the bikurim has to be 1 in 60. That we didn't know exactly how much bikurim has to be. But from the fact that 10 is 60, so we learn the Bikurim has to be 1 in 60. Because we don't know how much Bikurim to give. The truth is, if you give only one fruit, you fulfill the obligation. But they used to give 1 of 60 of the field. The word tenor, look after about 10, you should put in the basket, and you should take it to the place that Hashem told you to rest. The Talmud brings down that the rich people used to bring the fruits in big baskets of gold. And the coin is to do the whole procedure, lift up the basket, this is the whole procedure. And then the coin is to pour down, put the coin ate the fruits of Bikurim. So he used to put down the fruits and give back the basket of gold to the owner. And the poor person used to bring the Bikurim in a basket of reed. And then the coin is to take the whole fruit in the basket and keep everything to himself. That's what Talmud says after the poor, poorness come. Yeah? Talmud brings it down and says, that's what people say, that after the poor, poorness come. In other words, since the rich person brought the gold, he got back the basket. All the coin kept is the fruit. But the poor person, since he gave a cheap basket, so the coin kept the basket also. So that's the question, is that fair? It doesn't seem fair. So they explain that it is more than fair. Because a rich person, normally, he has got a huge field, his bikurim is a very vast amount. So therefore, when he puts it down, if he puts it down the table, that's enough to show that he has enough fruit. That's enough respect to show he has fruit. But the poor person, what does he have? He has a small field. One of six of his field is maybe one or two fruits. So if you take it out of the basket, you're going to put it on the table, it's going to look like nothing. So therefore, not to embarrass him, we keep the whole basket. We don't want to know how much he gave, what he didn't give, because he can't afford to give more, whatever. So therefore, that's the idea that the poor person, we keep the basket, and the rich person, we give back the basket. Here's an interesting pasuk. Pasuk number 3 says that you should bring the Bikurim to the place that God, your God, chose to put his name. You should come to the Kohen that's going to be those days. So Rashi says, a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean the Kohen is going to be in these days? It says that Ein Loch Kohen, you don't have a Kohen. You only have a Kohen Kamo Yishu like he is. So they have a very big question here that Bishloime by a Shofet, let's say Parsha, we had Shofet that you have to go to the Shofet. In other words, if you have a doubt in Allah, you should go to the Shofet. It's going to be those days. I understand that a judge you don't want to give because a judge maybe doesn't have as much knowledge as before. But what's the point of you giving it to the Kohen, or what do you care who the Kohen is? What does Rashi mean to say that you should give the Kohen only the Kohen the way it is? Kamo Yishahu. That's a question of the Ramban. Therefore, the Ramban brings two different, Nachmanides brings two different answers. One answer brings from the Sifri, that even though afterwards you find out that the Kohen you gave is not a kosher Kohen, that he's turned out to be a son of a divorcee, so don't think that you have to give it again to Bikurim. No. You get the Bikurim that he was those, that day he was a Kohen. You are exempt from your obligation, even though afterwards it's found that your Kohen, the Kohen that you had, is not a good Kohen. So you're exempt, you don't have to re-give the Bikurim. The other interpretation that Ramban gives on his own, he says that you may think that you should bring your Kohen, a friend of yours, that you should wait till this, till each week was a different Kohen, different group of Kohanim worked on the Beis Hamikdash, had different Mishmaris, had different shifts. So you may think you should wait for the shift that your Kohen, you have a friend there, so you should get the good portion. So he's telling you, no, that you should give the Kohen that's going to be those days, and we don't care who the Kohen is, right? Don't care who the Kohen is. That's the second interpretation he brings down. The Kleokra actually brings down, Kleokra brings a different interpretation. He says that Gemara brings down Elisha, Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kofhei, on my base brings down that Elisha, the prophet was taking, he took Bikurim. So the Gemara asks a question, is Elisha a Kohen? So it takes Bikurim. So the Gemara says that you should know that maybe Doran Talmud Chacham, anybody who brings a gift to a Talmud Chacham, to a wise person, is considered Kiluikri Bikurim. Like he himself brought Bikurim. So therefore you may think that if that's so, I'm going to give it to a Talmud Chacham. Why should I give it to the Kohen? If I give it to the Talmud Chacham, it's considered like you give Bikurim. So he's telling you, no, that Bikurim, that is like you give Bikurim. But through Bikurim is only to the Kohen. Doesn't matter if he's wise or not wise, you should give him the Bikurim. And the other thing they explain is that since you can make a confession, all this confession here, don't think that has to be a very noble coin. No, any coin could take the confession. Don't. The fact that he's a coin himself, that's enough for becoming a confession. And he makes a confession, which is the famous confession that we listen to the God of Pesach, says, Aramio Vedomi, Arameu wanted to destroy my father, right? A man tried to destroy my father, Vayed Mitzrayim, and I went down to Egypt. Vigor Sham, he lived there with Mitzrayim Me'ad. If you people, Vayed Lisham, the God, Lord Tzim Rabbi, became a huge nation. So everybody has a question, where do we find that Lavan Arami, that Laban, was guilty, tried to destroy me, my father, and he took me down to Egypt. He caused me to go down to Egypt. Where do we find that happened? So they have a couple different interpretations. One simple interpretation they bring down is that since Laban switched mothers, Rachel and Leah, so comes out Rachel's son Joseph wasn't the firstborn. If he would have been the firstborn, nobody would be jealous of him because he's truly the firstborn. But the fact that Leah was married first, so Reuven came out first, right? So he wasn't the firstborn, so therefore came the jealousy. And the jealousy caused them all to go to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. So that's what it means to say, Aram Yavidovi, Beria Mitzrayim. The Medrash brings down that because Lavan caused, the Chanukah Satorah brings this interpretation, because Lavan caused the language of Aramaic to come into the world, because when they make a pact, Lavan and Ahar made a pact all the way back, in the end of Vayetze, says that Yaakov called it Gilad, and Lavan called it Yegar Sahadusa. Yegar Sahadusa is an Aramaic name of Gilad. So because of that, that's on page 168, which in the end says that he called it Yegar Sahadusa. On the top line, 168, Pasuk 47, Laban called Yegar Sahadusa, the Yaakov Koro Galeis. Yegar Sahadusa, this translation is this mountain should be a witness. So because he says, so the message brings down, because Yaakov caused the language of Aramaic to be put in the Torah, so therefore he had to atone for that, they had to go to Mitzrayim. So it says, Arami Oivetov, it doesn't mean Aramaic, Alov on Arami, it means Arami, the Aramaic made my son, the language Aramaic made my son. And according to this, it's very good, because the Parshas Vayeshev says that there's a caravan, of Yeshev, when they sold Joseph, he says that there's a caravan, Vina Ochaz Ishmaelim, there's a caravan going from the word, from Gilad. On Pasuk page 204, on Vayeshev, Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chofei, says, Vina Ochaz Ishmaelim, and there is a caravan from Ishmaelim, Baram Gilad, is coming from Gilad. So that's a question, who cares where it's coming from? The point is, it's going to Egypt. Who cares where it's coming from? So the answer, no, Baram Gilad, comes from the word Gilad. Yaakov called the mountain Gilad, and he called it Yegar Sahadusa. So the whole reason he's going to Mitzrayim is because of the word Gilad. So that's what the Chanukah Torah puts together and explains. That's also why Lavan, by the way, which is Bilam, the guy which is a descendant of Lavan, according to Talmud, Lavan himself, that's why he got his foot smashed by the donkey on a wall of stone. Because they ask the question, well, what's the whole point about it? It got crushed on a wall of stone. So he's saying because he tried to transgress the covenant of the stone that they made together, so therefore his foot got crushed by a stone. There is here a very beautiful Rachaim. The Rachaim translates the whole section here. He translates on the soul going the world to come. And I'm going to translate the pasuk by pasuk so we could see how he puts the whole together. He says, "V'hoyo, it will be a great joy." We mentioned Kisover Alaretz, when you come to the land which Asher Hashem Akeh Chonoisen Lach, that God will give you. Nachlo, to inherit, inheritance. V'rishto, you inherited. V'shapta bo, you'll stay there. So he explains that this is the land of Olam Haba, the world to come. That's when you get the true land, the true inheritance, and that's when you stay there forever. That's your true place of residence. In this world, we are only sojourners. We're not residents. Place to residence is only the world to come. And then you should take Mereshis Pri Adama. Mereshis is written that Torah, which is Torah Shunika Reshis. Reshis, the Torah, should take the fruit of the Torah, that Kopri Adama, the fruit that you made on this earth, Asher Tovi, that you'll bring Arzacha from your land, Asher Hashem Kech Honeshulach, the land that Hashem give you, that's the inheritance of the Torah, you should take the Torah. The Samtoba Tene, you should put it together with Tene. Tene is 60, we mentioned Tene is 60, and there are 60 Masechtas in Torah Shabbat Peh. The world law has got 60 tractates. So the only way you could fulfill the Torah is if you use the Torah with the Torah Shabbat Peh, Samta Batene, and then V'olachta L'mokoyim Ashrivcha Hashem L'shirach L'shmei Sham. So he explains that there is an empty room, when a person dies, he goes into an ante room, where there he's judged by his deeds, and that's before he gets to go into the main room where God is there, that before he gets to see God's place, then he goes to the ante room, and in that ante room, that's where he does all this procedure that we're going to say soon. And also, al koyin asher b'yom ha'mohem, you should go to the koyin, it's going to be those days. Normally, that koyin is the angel Michal. The Talmud brings down the angel Michal as a koyin that sacrifices the world of the righteous. Although it brings the souls of the righteous to God. So, why is the koyin? The koyin is going to be those days. So, he says that sometimes Michal cannot be there for whatever reason. So, there's a substitute. So, you should take your case to that koyin or the substitute. And Vomar Toilev should tell him, Higata Yoel Nashon Kecho, I came today in front of God. In other words, until now I was alive, I came today in front of God. Because I came to the land that Hashem promised to give it to us. In other words, that's basically, the Kohen, which is Michal, will take the Torah with the 60, the Torah Shabbat Pef in your hand, and he'll put it in front of God. To for judgment, hey, look, this person did all these things. But all of a sudden, you'll find that it's not that is going to be missing, because a person never fulfills everything that he's supposed to do. So then, Vanisa, you'll answer. Vanisa normally is the answer. So the question is, what is the question that you'll answer? So obviously, you're going to have to plead your case because you're going to complain that how come you didn't fulfill the mitzvahs. So Vanisa, you'll answer. You say in front of your God. Arami Oved Avi, that Aramaic is the Arami, is the Ramoi, brings like the thief, which is the snake, the Satan. Oved Avi, he's the one who made my father, which is Adam Orishan, be lost. Because if not for the snake, we wouldn't have death, and you wouldn't have all these problems. So he says, Arami Oved Avi, it's talking about the Yetzer Hara, Arami is the Yetzer Hara. Oved Avi is Adam Orishan. Or the neshama of every person is considered the father of the person. The soul is the father. Vayered Mitzrayma, and that Arami came down to my border. He came into me, and he caused me. He caused my soul to be afflicted because of wanting physicality. Right? In other words, it caused me, Mitzrayim caused me the word Mitzorim, from Tsar, from afflictions. Vayogar Shom, Bimsei Me'at, and the way he started is he became a stranger, and he tells you a little thing. The Gemara Beit says that Yetzirah never tells you. Vayogar Shom means he lived there with few people. That's a normal translation. So he says, he translates that the Yetzirah lived inside me like a stranger, like a ger, like a stranger, like a being same out with little things. He started telling me first, doesn't tell you to avoid the Zohar straight. He tells you, know what? Don't rush. You sleep another hour. And then slowly you become, he builds up into you. So he starts with you like a stranger. And by Yisham, the Goy God, lost and whatever, all of a sudden becomes a huge nation. In other words, the Vayetzahara became so strong. Vayareya Sunim Mitzrayim. And my Yetzer Hara made me bad. By the way, the normal translation of Vayareya Sunim Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim made us bad. It's not made bad to us, made us bad. So that Mitzrayim itself had made it from because they were so evil, they caused us to become evil. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is the opposite, that because they made us evil, therefore, we became united. Vayoreyu is from Rosh Reya, a friend. We became friendly to one another because if we owe in tzuras, then we become united. So one interpretation is they made us bad, or they made us, Vayoreyu Son Mitzrayim, or they made us friends. Yeah? So Vayoreyu Son Mitzrayim, so if you translate as the Yetzirah made us bad. Vayaninu afflicted us, Vayaninu with the kosher, made us harder work. In other words, for us to keep the Torah now, since we have to take Torah, it's harder work. We cannot keep it so easily. So what was our choice? Vanitzak Hashem al-Kebo Yiseinu. We screamed to Hashem. Vayishma Hashem es koleinu. Hashem listened to our voice. Vesonyeinu. Vesamoleinu. Sachseinu. In other words, Hashem saw our affliction there. And Hashem took us out of there. Vayat chazoka. So here's two different interpretations. It translates. Hashem took us out from the Yetzer Hara. The Talmud says that if you have Yetzer Hara, there's three things you could do. You could put tefillin on. You put tzitzis. And you put mezuzah. Three different things. So he says, "Biat Chazaka is tefillin shel yad." Biat Chazaka is outstretched hand. It's tefillin. The Zoya too is tefillin you put in the hand. Moira God is tefillin you put in the hand, the head. Because the Gemara says, the pasuk brings down here later that all the nations will see that God's name is on top of you and they'll fear you. Yeah. So the Gemara says that pasuk page 1076. Pasuk number 10 says, "V'ro'u kol ha'me'oretz, all the nations will seek Yisrael Hashem nikra lecha, v'yorim imecho they'll fear you." So Talmud brings down that this is, what will they see? That this is the tefillin shel Berosh. That this is the tefillin that's in your head. So they explain that it's not tefillin on the head, it's tefillin that's in your head. That if you just put the tefillin on your head, it doesn't count much. But if you keep the tefillin in your head, that's what causes it. So therefore, in other words, if they see that you keep mitzvahs, then they will respect it or fear from you. So he says, in Moira Gadol, is a tefillin on the head. The oiso is, he says, the tzitzis, because tzitzis is a sign, we're supposed to look at it and remember the mitzvahs, and it's also a sign of tcheles, a sign of God. If the moipsim, he says, moipsim is the mezuzah, because that kept separated, moipsim is a separated, is a sign, like a sign. That was a sign when God jumped over the houses, that on the mezuzah we put the blood. That was the sign. So therefore he says, the Hashem gave us these three options to be able to kick out the satan, but the satan is still too strong. Another interpretation to bring down is biat chazaka, these five things. Biat chazaka, strong arm. This is the five books of the Torah. So he says, biat chazaka, strong arm, that is the Bereishis, because God created the world, that's a strong hand of God. Israel, the outstretched charm, that's all Shemos, that Egypt, the Torah, and all the miracles that God did, the water, the Yam, so that's outstretched arms. The Moira God on the great fear, the great awe, that's Vayikra, because Vayikra talks about the Beis Hamikdash, that's supposed to be a great place of awe, all the things we're supposed to do to keep awe. The Oiso is the signs, that's Bamidbar. Because Bamidbar talks about we should all be under a flag, under a separate sign. God put His name on us as a sign. So Bamidbar, the book of Numbers, talks about all the signs that God did. Even Moivsim brings down its Dvarim, because here Moses is telling you that you're going to be the chosen nation. So you are making signs for you, or separating you for other things. So he says, Hashem took us out with the Torah. In other words, the way Hashem has taken us out from the Satan is by us to keep the Torah. Like the Talmud says, that I created a Satan, I created a spice. The Torah is a spice. By the way, it's written, the Torah is a spice, not an antidote. A spice is something you add to the fruit to change the taste. I was just, you're supposed to keep the Satan, but you're supposed to change the taste of the Satan. Because we learn a lot of good things from the Satan. We learn enthusiasm to run from mitzvahs. We learn how to do things, with what ambition to do things, if how to be relentless in our pursuit of mitzvahs. So we should take the Torah and should spice up the Satan, not eradicate the Satan, because that's not the goal. The goal is to take your evil inclination, not only the Satan, take your evil inclination and use that for the good. In other words, don't become religious and all of a sudden become like Adad, you know, you have to use the same thing for enthusiasm, the same enthusiasm you had before, you have to continue striving with it. And so that's why he brings down and brought us to this land, and Hashem, and he says you'll be happy for all the joys of all the good things that Hashem made to you. That's basically his idea, is that the whole parsha is talking about, not about the land of Israel itself, about the Kurim, but it's a metaphor for the world to come, what we're going to plead, how we should plead to God in the world to come, that we try to do the mitzvahs, but yeah, the Satan you put into us, and it's basically your fault, not our fault completely, Because if you wouldn't have it, then you wouldn't have done it. Yeah, that's why he brings down, Dorachan brings down on this whole thing. After this, we have the parsha, which is called the Confession of the Tithe. On this Confession of the Tithe, everybody has a very big problem with it. Spent in Jerusalem. That's the second year, the third year of the cycle, the third and the sixth year. Instead of having Master Sheni, instead of you spending the money in Jerusalem, you had to give to the poor. The poor into the Almana, to Yosem Almana. So after every 3 years, basically, you made this tithe confession. Basically, trying to, you come up to the temple and you say, I did everything I'm supposed to do. Take a look, I did exactly, Pasuk number 13. Then you should say before Hashem, I have removed the holy things from the house, I have also given to the Levite, to the proselyte, to the orphan, to the widows, according to whatever commandment you commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandment, I have not forgotten, I have not, I did everything right. And if you take a look even the end of Pasuk 14, I have acted according to everything you commanded me. You ever heard such a confession? It's a great confession. And actually in Hebrew it's called Vidui Masa. It's a confession of Masa. So everybody has a question, what's going on? How can you say this, a confession like that? So first you have to understand, let's just translate a couple of words. It says in Pasuk number 13, it says, I did kechal mitzvoscha, like all your mitzvahs. Right? The English translation is not... It's not correct.
Yes.
It says, it's not kol mitzvah, it's not all the mitzvahs. It's kechal, like all the mitzvahs. I did like all the mitzvahs you commanded me. Levak mitzvah, I did not transgress. Bloy shokhachti, I did not forget. So the question the first they ask is, if you didn't transgress, obviously you did not forget. If you did the mitzvah, obviously you did not forget. So the Sfasemes first explains that a lot of times a person does a mitzvah, like we do mitzvahs nowadays, we put tzitzas nowadays. Or say shemunesrim. We press a button, it's cruise control, and it goes automatically. We don't even think what we're doing. So the fact that we did all the mitzvahs doesn't count like much. That we didn't forget the kavanas behind it, that's the great thing. So he's saying, I did all the mitzvahs, I did everything you told me, I did not forget. I did not do it. And, I listened to your voice. I did like everything you commanded me. I didn't do everything you commanded me. According to everything. But in Hebrew it says, kechol is like everything you command me. I didn't do everything you command me. I did like everything you command me. So again, what's the point here? So the answer that they give is that on my side, people are going to be very, very careful. Because Maaser, we have a promise, Aser Taaseh. If you give Maaser, you'll get rewarded financially. So on that kind of mitzvah, people are very, very careful about it, and they do it. So you're confessing, I did like everything you told me. I followed all the motions on this mitzvah. Because I have ulterior motives for it. That's the confession. Because only on this mitzvah Maaser, I'm saying I did like everything you told me. Everything else I didn't tell you. So the confession is not the Maaser itself. It's that Maaser you're admitting, I did exactly like you told me because there's a fringe benefit to it. That's why it's telling you confession. And the Kotzke Rebbe actually says that we say this because there is no person that could admit they did everything he told them. We're only doing it because you told us to say this. So I'm doing exactly like you told me, but truly, it's not true. That's the confession. In other words, I'm following exactly the motions exactly like you told me. But in truth, I'm saying the words because you told me to say the word. I did exactly like you told me. Like you told me. But truly, I didn't do everything. Because it's impossible a person should do everything. We're not even saying for myself, we're saying everything. So therefore, it says, Ashkifa, that according to our interpretation, Shkifa means gaze down. The Talmud brings down that every time it says gaze down, is the note examination to determine the punishment appropriate. Yeah? In other words, if you gaze, somebody gazes on something, is obviously, somebody looks is one thing, but somebody gazes, it means he's looking for the hidden things behind it. Every time it says Shkifa is usually bad. But only time it's good is here. So that's a question, why here? So they explain that since you're giving tzedakah, and the poor man is benefited regardless of what it is, since you talk about Maaser, you give it to the poor, or you give it to you give it to the Levite, and doesn't matter what your intentions are when you give. So there, Hashem, there the gaze, even Hashem gazes down, doesn't matter because Hashem is going to see only what the poor says. So the only time a shkifa is all bad, only here, but tzedakah, when you're giving to the poor, that you're able to change midas adin, which normally a shkifa is midas adin, justice, and there you'll be able to change for rachmin, for kindness. The other thing they bring down here on I'm sorry, on before on Pikurim says number 9. It's actually, if you take a look, it seems to be out of order. And now number 9, he brought us to this place and he gave us this land, a land flowing of milk and honey. First he gave us the land and brought us to this place, so it's out of order technically. Why you're saying, in other words, brought us to Israel, and then he gave us this land. First gave us this land, then brought me to Beis Hamikdash. So there's an interesting Midrash in Parshas Yisroi. I marked it here on page 402. On Yisroi it says, you saw what I did to Egypt. When I born you, I took you, our confidence, Shara, on the eagle's wings. When I brought you to me. So Targum Yosef Ben Uziya brings down that at that time, Matan Torah, Hashem actually took the Jews and brought them to Israel. And then he brought back to Sinai the whole thing. But he wanted them to at least get a shock treatment, basically from Egypt, to get some Kedusha into them, to be able to get rejuvenated, to be able to start the process of going up in levels. So the way to do it is by bringing him to Israel. So he brings down that God actually brought him on eagle's wings, that was the Jews, and then Hashem gave him the land. So then this order of this comes out correct, that he first brought us to the land of Israel, and then he brought us back. Here it's written, the same pasuk that we mentioned before, I didn't transgress it and I didn't forget. I didn't forget. So they bring an interesting Gemara. The Gemara brings down Pinchas Ben Yair. There was a town that the mice were eating the grains. So Pinchas Ben Yair says that, you know, if you separate your type properly, the mice won't eat your grain. Yeah. And the Gemara brings down that if somebody eats something from that a mice ate from, he'll forget learning. It's a zgula for shikha. Gemara says that if you want to forget learning, if you eat food that the mice ate from, that causes you to forget learning. So if you put it together, it says that levarti mitzvasecha, did not transgress your mitzvahs. Automatically, mice didn't eat from it. If mice didn't eat from them, the leshachachti, I didn't forget. Because if mice had hidden from me, I would have forgotten the Torah. I couldn't say this testimony. But the proof that I didn't transgress is v'lo shachachti. I didn't forget. So if I didn't forget, so that's brought down from the fortune bring down that Gemara. So I'm going to skip a little bit on this. We're going to go a little bit to the curses, to the brachas and the curses. Just a couple of interesting things. The curse starts on page 1076, pasuk number 15. Says, "Desadvayu leSishma." If you're not going to listen to Hashem, there is a total of 98 curses. 98 curses is they say that, and there is 676 words. The words is Tofresh Ayin Vav. In other words, from the beginning of the curses until the end, there are 676 words. these are really rebukes that Moshe is giving it. And we're going to see a little definition between the why the rebukes are different from the rebukes we had before. We had before rebukes. We had before Bechikoisa. We had rebukes that God gave. It's in the plural. Here is only singular. Yeah? And there God gave us, and here Moshe gave us. And some say that the first rebuke has to do with the first destruction of the temple. The second rebuke is our carbon now. So there are 676 words, which is the equivalent to the letters ra'ois. Ra'ois, ra'ois. Ra'ois is bad. Ra'ois is tzaddik. And there's also 26 times the word yud kei vav kei. God's name here in this curse is written 26 times. And 26 times 26 comes out also yud kei vav kei numerical value is 26. So 26 times the numerical value coincidentally comes also out to 676. So they say, the Pasuk means to say, Rabois Rois Tzadik, that the Allah Rabois is Allah Rois, the bad things Tzadik, that's going to happen to the Tzadik. But to Mikulam, from everything, Yatsrenu Hashem. The name of Hashem will save you from everything. In other words, we mentioned before that the world has to have a balance. Every time there is evil, you have to have balance good. So there's 676 times the word bad things. So equivalent is 676. No numerical value of Hashem. So everything in the world has to be equal. The Medrash brings down that Baderech Sod, by secret, all these curses are going to turn out to be good. Yeah, I'm going to give an example of a couple of them that I saw in the Gemara. The Gemara actually brings down a couple of them. But so they explain that since in secret, all this is going to be good. Now secret is speaking low. Therefore, you should speak these curses in a low tone. Because we want to be a secret, and a secret will come out a bracha. So Baderech Sod, in other words, in a secret, and Sod is a secret, will come out. So therefore, I tell you this parsha in a low voice. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Vav gives an interesting story there. Gemara says that there is a guy called Bar Hedia, and he was a dream interpreter. But he was a very peculiar dream interpreter. Whoever paid the money, he interpreted for the good. Whoever didn't give money, interpreted for the bad. He was a very biased interpreter. And the Gemara brings the story that Abaye and Rava both came the same dream, both did the same thing. And to one he gave a good interpretation, to other one he gave a bad interpretation. And coincidentally, most of the dreams came out from this Pesukim of the curses. So the first Pasuk the Gemara brings down is Pasuk 31. It says, Shoicho Tavroch Lenecha, your axe will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will not eat from it. So Gemara says, Rava didn't give him money, so Rava says that you're not going to have, your business is going to go bad. Right? But Abaye says that you're going to be so glad, you're going to be so happy, you're going to be so excited about your business that you're going to lose your appetite. Your axe is going to be there, and you're not going to want to eat it because you're so happy from what's happening to you. Then the next one he says, Banechov Nesech Nesulam Achar, that your sons and daughters will be given to a nation, to a different nation, right? So to Rava he says that your children are going to die, or your mother, or your wife is going to die, and you're going to have a new wife, and that's considered like she's going to rule, your stepmother is going to rule over the children, so that's considered like the children are given to a different nation. That's what to Rava interpreted. But Tobiah says that you're going to have a fight with your wife, you're going to have children to marry. You're going to want to marry to your relatives. And she's going to marry to her relatives. And she's going to win. And therefore, your children will be given to a different nation. You're going to have so much chasanas that your problem is going to be who you should marry. And the other pasuk they bring down is pasuk number 41. Bonim Ivonim Toilet, V'yaloch. You have children, but they're not going to be to you. Kiyach v'shevi, they'll be kidnapped. So to Rav interpreted simply that your children are going to be kidnapped. And by the way, the Gemara says, however interpreted, so it was. Everything came true. And Abaye interpreted is saying that you're going to have so many children that they're going to eventually leave you. They're going to go to different lands. You're going to marry your daughters outside, and the husbands are going to take them out of your neighborhood. So it looked to you like they went to a kidnapping. They're being kidnapped by their husbands. because he's not going to be with you. So that's the way he interpreted all these things. I thought so too. But Gemara brings down, Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Vav brings all this down. Actually, Gemara brings down a couple other things, but the Gemara says that they just stopped the pasuk in the middle. In other words, it says that you, if you take a look, all these curses, they come with something good though. Even the curses. Because if you take a look, number 40. You'll have a lot of olives. Or if you take a look, it actually tells you that you're going to have a lot of, pasuk number 38. Zera Rav, you're going to have a huge abundancy. I mean, this is the curse. In other words, the curse is not that you're not going to have food. I think the biggest curse is if you have and they take it away. If you don't have, it's such a curse. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't say that you're not going to have. Not going to have is not going to be cursed. That's what they tell you, that the biggest, if somebody became rich and all of a sudden got poor, was rich, becomes poor, that is the worst punishment. The worst punishment is somebody who never was rich. Even though you could say, no, but at least it tasted well. No, but the downfall is magic. The downfall is what hurts. So that's what, if you take a look here, says that you're going to have olives, but somebody else is going to take it. You're going to have this. So the Gemara brings down that everything is going to turn out to good, but they ask a question, how is it possible everything turn out to good? There's one curse here that seems to be like very, very bad. If you take a look at page 182, pasuk number 53, says, V'chaltu privitnecha, you eat the flesh of your sons, the meat of your children that God gave you. So he says, how can you do it? Fine, you could maybe stretch some, but how can you stretch this? So I heard from Balditchover, the Kedusha's Levi says, that I heard in his name, I don't know if it's his, that that's a great bracha. How can it be a bracha? So he says that it's telling you you're going to have children, and you'll be able to eat in the children's house. How many parents can't eat in the children's house? You could eat the meat in your children's house, you'd be able to go and comfortably and eat the meat in your children's house. You don't have to worry about it. So he says, that's you have a bigger bracha than this. This is the biggest bracha that's possible, he says. This is the biggest bracha that's possible. But the truth is that they explain, the Gemara says that why did Moshe Rabbeinu hate us so much that he had to add his klolos before our klolos? So first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu's klolos comes in the singular term, that he wanted his klolos to take effect before God's klolos takes effect. If God's klolos takes effect, we are lost. So he says, you know what, let me preempt it mine, that by at the time this comes by, the Jews definitely will make tshuva, so you don't have to worry about it. So that's one interpretation that he did is. The Talmud actually brings down later, we'll see next week's parsha, that they were more scared of Moshe's curses than God's curses. Why? Because God's curses is in the plural. So if it's in the plural, it means that all the Jews have to keep it. But Moses, in other words, you don't have to worry because it's impossible for all the Jews to transgress everything. But Moses' curses come individual. So then, in other words, even an individual doesn't keep it. Therefore, that means that you have to be more careful. My interpretation is being down that, like I mentioned before, that the first curses come the first Beis Hamikdash, and the second curses comes the second Beis Hamikdash. Second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed for Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam, everybody became individuals. So therefore, it's in the singular. The first curses, everybody was together, was in the plural. So therefore, the first in the plural is saying to everybody at the same time. The second one is saying individual. So therefore, they were more scared, and therefore that's what comes in as chinam. That's why it is. But if you take a look, there is a pasuk in the curse that the Kotzker Rebbe says that's a very important pasuk. Page 1080, pasuk number 46, says, you know why this curse is coming? Tachas shelevalto, because you did not serve. Pasuk number 47. I'm sorry. For he said, because you did not serve Hashem your God amid gladness and goodness of heart when everything was abundant. Even though you served God, but you didn't serve God out of gladness and in joys of heart. In other words, it doesn't say, period, you didn't serve God. It says, you served God, but you didn't serve God out of happiness. In other words, came Shabbos afternoon, it's Shabbos, when Shabbos finished 10 o'clock, you're like watching the clock, when is Shabbos going to end? because this is getting ready to be too much. Now, this, even though you're serving Hashem, but you're not serving Hashem amid gladness, that's one interpretation. That's a Kotzkerebbe's interpretation. Another interpretation brought down also from the Kotzkerebbe is that when you didn't serve God, you were besimcha. In other words, you didn't serve God and you were happy not doing it. It's tachas levat Hashem kecho, because you didn't serve God, besimcha. And you did it besimcha, that's why you're going to get the curses. If you don't serve God, no. We can understand you shouldn't serve God because you know you have Yitzhahara. But when you don't serve God and you besimcha, that is a no-no. Then it comes all the curses. And until you don't do the last step, until you don't do this last cross over the threshold, then nothing, Hashem won't do it. I think we'll stop here. And Hashem should help us, that we have Barichat Avoir, Barichat Basada. Hashem should bless us in this field. And in the stuff, Hashem should bless us, Bevoyecho, our comings and our goings. And we should have all the fish of Lema, the Kodav Yomeinim.